Sorry. Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. So I thought today I would start with looking at symbols of the Holy Spirit, which is on our minds today with Pentecost. And there are many symbols that represent the Holy Spirit, and we hear of all these examples in the Bible. Right back at the beginning in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And we have this image of the wind moving over the land, moving over the waters. But we also hear of the dove hovering. And that was the dove at Jesus' baptism. That was in Matthew's gospel. The symbol of the Holy Spirit coming down, resting over Jesus as he came up out of the water as a dove. And the water of baptism itself, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, who was somebody who had come to ask about the entry into the kingdom of God. And Jesus talks to him in, I think it's in John chapter 3 I've got written here. And Jesus says, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. So the water is an image, a symbol of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit. The water cleansing our bodies outwardly, but the Spirit entering into us with our baptism to live and reign in our bodies always from then on. And then we have this image of the fire that we hear in our reading today from Acts, that first reading we had, and that power of the wind coming through the house as well on that very momentous occasion. And there are more examples, of course, in the Bible. Most of these images and these symbols are on my stole that I'm wearing today. It's the one I chose when I was getting commissioned, and I had to think of what to have on this red stole. It's the one that we have when we think of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I've got water on it, I've got fire, I've got the dove going in, the dove going up on the other one. There's a lot of movement and activity. This powerful thing that we think of with the Holy Spirit. But fire is the one image that is very much in my mind today. And I was thinking, you know, that I've just been on holiday with my children. And something that whenever we gather, particularly in these summer months when it's warmer, we always have to have a fire of some sort, like a barbecue or a fire pit going or something. It's something that we gather around. And we had a barbecue just recently. And we're very typical, you know, the men who usually get the barbecue ready and the women sort of, we're like, you know, getting the food and gathering it. But there's always this great sort of like worry and concern and anticipation. Is the fire going to get going? Have we got enough wood? I can remember we were scraping around for wood, actually, because we hadn't brought much with us, the things from the shops, because we were on holiday. But we managed to get the guys managed to get the barbecue going, and then we had our food all cooked over it, and it was a really lovely occasion. This gathering around at this powerful fire which then cooked our food that we could eat. It was a lovely thing to enjoy. But it also took me back thinking about fire, of when I was a child sitting in front of our roaring fire at home. And I would sit there for hours, you know, pre-TV, but I think even now, you know, when I watch a roaring fire, you get really sort of absorbed into the glow of those the fire that's there. And I could remember as a child thinking of all little stories of going on in these caves that I would see develop amongst the wood and the coal. And I would be thinking of these little imaginary stories of things happening in this world of fire that was going on. Very powerful, very beautiful, great images that I still remember. And I'm sure that the disciples, when this Holy Spirit came upon them that day, it must have been both terrifying and exhilarating for them. Maybe some of them remembered when Jesus had stood amongst them in the locked room. We heard that story again today from the Gospel reading. when he stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." And that had been the first time that they had seen the resurrected Christ. And they must have been pretty shocked by this appearance. They were in a locked room, and there was Jesus standing amongst them. They probably felt far from peaceful, not quite sure how they should be feeling. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." In amongst their wild up emotions that they must have all been feeling, Jesus calls for them to have peace. And that is something we often need when we are troubled, when we are troubled in our lives. Something we often call for people to experience if they've got troubles in their lives. When we pray for them, we ask for peace to be with them in that time. And it says that Jesus breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So the disciples are familiar with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has ascended to heaven, and they are familiar with the Holy Spirit. They have been baptized with water. They have received the breath, the wind from Jesus in the locked room. And now they experience the fire. Literally must have been fired up by what must have happened to them. And we hear Peter's first address, his first sermon, really, his first preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit layered on him in wind and in fire. And what a sermon it is. And all those around them were astonished, because not only was Peter speaking this wonderful sermon to them, but all of the disciples were able to speak to them, to converse with them, in all the various nationalities that had come together for a festival gathering. It was the Feast of Harvest, that the ancient Jewish festival it was, and the people would gather from all over who were Jews to celebrate this together. So it was amazing timing for the Holy Spirit to descend on the apostles and to empower them in this way. What great timing of God. And Peter bravely stood up to preach. It's true that the Holy Spirit inspired, prompted Peter to preach. But Peter knew what he knew, and that's what he preached. He'd known Jesus, he knew the scriptures from of old, and he preached with great authority, with all that he had. Sometimes I think that we're a bit wary of the Holy Spirit, of calling on the Holy Spirit. We're a bit nervous to say, "Come and empower me, come and speak to me, God, and tell me what you want me to do." We might be a bit worried how we might ask us to guide our church or as a Christian group. Just wondering, we might be asked too much. But God uses what we have. And when the time is right, God will call on us. And those gifts and skills will be given to us. I hadn't written this down, but it made me think. I was called many years ago in my heart, and people would say to me, "Why don't you become a vicar?" And I'd say, "There is no way I can stand up and speak in front of people. It would just be too scary." I'd be one of those people who'd be in a meeting, and maybe, you know, like a parents' evening or some other meeting, and we would be needing to offer our thoughts and feelings about things which were going on. And by the time I got the words together, the subject would have changed. We've moved on to another topic, and I'd be like, "I've missed the chance," and my heart would be racing, and I was thinking, "Oh, Paula, you're pathetic, just, you know, do this." And I said, "There's no way I can be a vicar. I can't stand up in front of people and speak." And then I got put into, I just had these jobs where I ended up speaking in court for people. I'd end up doing meetings with multi agencies and different things with different people. And I'm thinking, well, I can do it then. Surely I can become a vicar. And I think God then put me in those jobs where I became to do those things. So I still stumble, but I think, you know, that's just me being me. But God puts things in our path. He's really helped the disciples, and we read about that in the Bible. Jesus had really helped the disciples to be prepared. He'd explained the parables to them. You know, when we read about the parables, often the crowds would be told these parables, or the group of people, And then it says Jesus took the disciples aside and he would explain to them what the parables meant. He took them to places to pray with God. He took them to special places so they could, well, the transfiguration we have, where he went up and those three disciples then saw Jesus in the presence of God and of Moses and of Elijah. So Peter was ready and he spoke boldly. And Peter was asked by the crowd what to do, and Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. It can often sound too simple, but it is the way, God's way. So, the Holy Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit today? What is it doing? These are questions I was thinking about myself. Where can we find it? Well, the thing is, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus promised that when he returned to the heavenly realm, he would not leave us as orphans. We read about that in John 14. He says, I will come to you, and that he will send us a comforter. He says that again in John 14. In fact, Jesus said that he had to return to the heavenly realm so the Holy Spirit could come in its full force, in its full glory. And that's what we have now. So where do we meet with it? Where do we meet with the Holy Spirit? Well, we will meet with the Holy Spirit in different ways. Maybe in the quietness, when we come into church and no one is here. Maybe when we're sitting at home having a cup of tea. We can meet the Holy Spirit in the hustle and bustle of our day-to-day life. It might be in the kindness we see someone giving to another, or the kindness that is given to us, or just in amongst it, somehow we feel something beyond our day-to-day happening. It can be in the sudden words of wisdom we may hear the Holy Spirit, and certainly in the breath of nature and beauty and the creation around us. Even in these really hot days, and when we see something very special. Certainly when we sat outside yesterday, we found a shady spot and the wind was blowing. You know, Holy Spirit, isn't it? God created it all, isn't it? Literally in the wind, blowing in the trees. So this little flame is just something for you to take and remind you that when you see it knocking around on the side or in your car or in your bag, it will remind you of the Holy Spirit, this flame that came and rested on each of the apostles. I'm rather happy it isn't happening to all of us now, but you know. But it will remind you of the Holy Spirit. And I think the more we remind ourselves, the more we open ourselves, it will become a bigger part of our life. The Holy Spirit will move within us and we will be reminded of its peace and the amazing power that God has still moving here on this earth.